At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Grid, Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish back with you here on a Wednesday, along with George Kurtz. 2 hours fantasy sports talk. Of course, plenty of NFL to get to here on the show. We have Byron Buxton coming up a little bit later, the tremendous outfielder from the Minnesota Twins. So stay tuned to that. That's coming up in just a bit. No question. We're going to get into everything going on with the Super Bowl, and we'll touch on the NBA. We'll give you some DFS tips tonight, as we always do here on the show. But there's no question there's only one place that we're going to be starting our show here this afternoon, George. And great to see you, by the way. It's good to talk to you. But it's like a where were you moment, I feel like, yesterday when we heard this news about former Dolphins head coach Brian Flores suing the NFL. I was in a parking lot getting ready to pick up some dinner for my family. And I don't think I put my phone down for about 2 straight hours. So I think that's probably a good place to start with this absolute bombshell dropped yesterday and more of it this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, it was tough to put the phone down or my laptop, whatever I was on at the time. I was actually also in a parking lot. I was walking back from the gym when this came down here. My first thought was, damn, why couldn't this happen an hour ago? I would have had something entertaining while working out. But absolutely, this was a bombshell. To me, when you read through it, it's like, I thought John Gruden was trying to burn the NFL down after what happened to him. Now he's, in his mind, he was forced to resign here. So he wanted to take people down with him. Brian Flores is like, just hold my beer. All right, because here we go. Here we go. And it's going to dominate the headlines for a while here during Super Bowl week. You know, the NFL cannot be happy about this. It's going to be interesting to see where this goes.
Yeah. I mean, Radio Row is nowhere what it used to be. I've covered Radio Rows in the NFL for a long time. And it was always the mecca of topics of conversation. Make no mistake about it. It still will be at the Super Bowl next week. But I guess the question is how far this goes into the actual game and the lead up to the game. Of course, we'll be talking about it here along with getting you ready for the Super Bowl next Sunday. Here's where we begin with our headlines here on this Wednesday, February 2nd, 2022. Brian Flores yesterday, a lawsuit coming out, his lawyers basically, going in on the NFL, all kinds of, issues here and some racism issues that have been brought up. The fact that Flores did not get a job with the Giants, text from Bill Belichick coming into the wrong person. If you've missed the story by now, my gosh, where have you been? Also accusations that the owner of the Miami Dolphins, Brian Flores, offered to pay the head coach $100,000 every time he lost. Like, crazy stuff coming out of this. We're going to hit on it more, trust me. Washington football team is now the Washington Commanders. This would have been our top story today, I suppose, if yesterday hadn't happened. Jimmy Garoppolo expects a trade, wants to play for a winner. Not going to be his choice. Giannis triple-double leads the Bucks over the Wizards last night. Suns win again, too. Unbelievable. The Phoenix Suns are playing so well. They beat Brooklyn last night. All right, George. So let's dive into this a little bit more because it's what everybody's talking about. Now, naturally, finally, I can say, yes, this is my hometown. I live in South Florida. A lot of this is percolating here around the Miami Dolphins. And so I cannot shed any light on this because I had absolutely no idea any of this was going on. I had no idea that a lawsuit was coming, and certainly it stunned me just like it stunned everybody else. But of course, the question is at this point, George, with the lawsuit that Brian Flores has, how much of this will we find out that is true and is accurate? And let's bring in our radio audience here to SportsGrid and SportsGrid.com. There's going to be a lot of sides taken here before this actually goes into court. The NFL has already said that this is without merit. Some other things that were brought up: a meeting with John Elway, where Flores claimed that that Elway looked drunk. Elway has shot that down and said that wasn't the case. He was taking that medicine or whatever it was for COVID. I don't even know what the name of it is. And then on top of it, this claim that and really the biggest thing of all, and I know unfortunately we're not focused on the race issue, which is really the primary issue here, but the NFL issue is was an owner really complicit and offering his head coach $100,000 a game to lose? I mean, that's a game changer here.
There's so much to talk about here. I mean, it's really three parts to this, right? The Miami part, the Giants part, and the Denver part. All right, that's really what's going on here, right? Denver, John Elway, and another executive showed up hungover. I think they were obviously drinking the night before, and they were an hour late to the meeting. That's what Flores is claiming there. All right, the Miami part is bad for a number of reasons. If it's true that Ross was offering had a slush fund of $1.6 million, $100,000 per loss that he was going to offer here, he has to sell the team. If they can prove that, he has to sell the team. That's actually against federal law, by the way. Forget the NFL rules. That's against federal law. That would be a major, major thing here. Not to mention, you know, the gambling community. You're throwing games now? That's going to throw a lot of things out of whack here. A lot of things out of whack. And then, of course, with the Giants here, well, once again, if they told DeBole, I guess if they knew they were hiring DeBole before they even interviewed Flores, which, listen, I think this happens a lot. I do. I think a lot of these interviews are just, you know, checking a box here. They don't mean anything. I do, unfortunately.
Right.
That would look bad with Giants as well because you didn't, once again, fulfill the Rooney Rule over and over again. At least you didn't have the spirit of the...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Rooney Rule off the field there. So there's a lot going on here. I don't know how he proves any of this. In my mind, as we took, I don't think everything he says is true, but I don't think everything he says is false either. I think there's what he said, what the NFL is saying, and the truth is somewhere in the middle. And one more thing about the NFL. They issued that statement that it was without merit within 2 hours. So within 2 hours, you investigated everything. Outstanding work.
Yeah, seems unrealistic. We'll dive a little bit more into this when we come back right here on Fantasy Sports Today. So stay on the grid. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Fourth Grid. Craig Mish, George Kurtz. We're going to talk a little Raiders football coming up. Josh McDaniels is a new head coach. He spoke to the media yesterday. But going back to what we were talking about, George, just before the break, you know, and this whole situation with the NFL and now Brian Flores, who essentially, you know, has really come out with so many claims that are so damaging to the NFL, people, players, teams, everything that kind of goes along with it, that some questions are definitely being asked and very fair. You know, obviously, if it is proven that the owner of the team was offering $100,000 a loss, this is arguably as big a story as there's going to be in the NFL. And you're right, George, in some way you would have to assume that that Ross may have to sell the team. He owns the stadium too, though. So it's like the whole dynamic there is just insane. But I suppose playing the other side of it, in particular on that subject alone, and there's also a story, of course, how that's in the lawsuit that Flores was basically asked to meet the owner, Steve Ross, at his yacht, to where a unnamed prominent quarterback was there. Some have surmised that it was Tom Brady in 2019. But the question is that why Flores continued to coach even after all of this happened back in 2019, rather than bring it up at that time. And I do think that is somewhat of a fair question. Now, in Flores' defense, there's just not many of these jobs around. He could have feared that he would be fired, and so he just, you know, stuck with the job. We really don't know. Not all of that was explained on the various television appearances that he made this morning, including CBS This Morning, which I watched, and CNN. What are your thoughts on that, though, George? Like, finding out about it and basically being told that you can do this and just not saying anything for a couple of years?
It's, once again, it's a little strange here. This is what I mean by, you know, what Flores says, what the NFL says, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. Do I think it's more slanted towards Flores? Yeah, I honestly do. I think he's telling more of the truth than anybody else here. But as you said, you're up to $100,000 per loss, and you just, no, I'm not doing it. And then, you know, Tom Brady, apparently this happened a couple of times, right, where Ross wanted him to meet supposedly Tom Brady, a quarterback, whatever. But he kept saying, no, I can't do that. He's on the contract. It's against the NFL rules. I find that really hard to believe, because let's face it, there are rules and there are rules. That one seems like, I'm sure, it's broken quite a bit about meeting someone under contract or talking about to someone under contract. So I'm not so sure I buy that completely. And as soon as he saw Tom on the yacht, he left. No, can't be with him. Got to go. I'm not so sure I buy that. You know, so I think there's a lot going on there. I do. But my problem is this. You said it. What's he going to say? He's not going to quit. He can't come out against it Let's face it, Brian Flores resigned. He retired from the NFL yesterday. He'll never get another job. I find that hard to believe that he ever will. You know, especially not while this lawsuit's going on. He almost can't get another job. You worry about him whistleblowing everything, right? You would be. So I can't see him getting another job. He resigned from the NFL yesterday, as far as I'm concerned here. So there's a lot going on here for him. It's a courageous move, a ballsy move, because he's only 40 years old. He had a long career coming in the NFL. I think he would have gotten another coaching job. I know me personally, Greg, I don't think I talked about it with you. I don't think you and I were on the air at the same time. But when I was in other shows, where when he got fired, I was like, what the hell, what's Miami doing here? How do you fire a coach? In today's NFL, where we have so many coaches who are terrible in the NFL, how do you fire someone who's obviously a good coach, who's getting the most out of his players? Because it's not like the Miami Dolphins were loaded with talent here. And then, you know, yesterday, I'm like, oh, that's why. That's why you're fired, because what's going on here behind? Yeah. Right. Now it makes more sense to me. This is why, like I said, why I'm slanting towards believing Flores more. Because why do you fire the man who was doing a good job here when you see some of these other coaches who can't get anything done with more talent here? So that's why I tend to believe Flores. Not every single word, mind you, but I do tend to believe Flores, because it made no sense for the Dolphins to fire him. Not from what we knew at the time. Now that we know more, okay, things come more into focus.
Yeah, and look, it's about relationships in any job. I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. At the time, not knowing all of this stuff, I basically said, well, look, it's Steve Ross's team. He owns it, and he can choose to do whatever he wants. He is the owner. And in that spot, if he just doesn't like someone, he can fire them. That's what being an owner is. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it fair. It kind of stinks, actually. But that is the reality of being in a situation where you're not the boss. But in the end, there are so many other layers to this, and you're right, George. It is super interesting, the fact that Miami apparently was trying to recruit maybe Tom Brady, you know, to coming to Miami before he ended up going to Tampa Bay, And now with this happening, it's just, there's so many other layers that we're going to end up finding out. I think if I'm not mistaken, Hugh Jackson, the former coach of the Cleveland Browns, has now come out and says that he stands with Brian Flores, and he has proof that the Browns basically asked him to tank. I suppose this is before they took Baker Mayfield many years ago too. So we'll just continue to follow the bouncing ball on this one. And as we go, this is a real big story for the NFL for sure on a lot of different levels. All right, let's move on here a little bit because we've been talked out on this subject. Let's move on to the Las Vegas Raiders. They make their official announcement yesterday as they have hired former Patriots, go figure, offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels, who, of course, had an opportunity a couple of years ago to coach an NFL team, but basically thought the Raiders, as he said, were the perfect spot.
Their commitment to winning is easy to feel, to see. And to me, walking through this building and having a sense of the history and tradition of this organization and how much that impacts, the day-to-day here, it really hit me. This is one of those iconic places, and it's a historic organization that has unbelievable history and tradition, and it's in every hallway. And so I just, getting to know them, feeling their commitment, and understanding that really married up with what my vision would be for another opportunity, it was easy to make the choice.
Well, jokingly, obviously, George, we're hoping that Bill Belichick doesn't have another Josh to congratulate in his phone after he just did with Brian Flores and Brian Daboll, if those texts are indeed accurate. But look, McDaniels is walking into a pretty good spot here, George, because he's walking into a place where there is some talent, but it's almost a clean slate, like a decent team with a new GM, a new head coach, go back into the draft, build through that. And that's the good news. The defense is good too. But George, as far as offense, man, like the cupboard is a little bare. Honestly, when I look at it, I don't know how the Raiders got to the playoffs with basically this core last year of Carr and Jacobs and Renfro, who's very good, but you know, he's not going to, catch a 70-yard touchdown ever. And then Darren Waller, who didn't look right in the playoffs and was banged up last year. They do have a high pick in the draft, of course, 22nd overall pick. What do you make of this with the Raiders?
This one surprised me. All right, this one surprised me. Now, you mentioned McDaniels. Actually, he had the Indianapolis Colts job and then all of a sudden backed out of it last second. He's had other opportunities as well, but has always turned them down. To accept the Raiders job is, once again, strange to me for this reason. First off, I wonder if he was promised that he was going to be the next Patriots head coach once Bill stepped down. But all of a sudden, Bill, he's not going anywhere. Got a quarterback he can work with, Mac Jones, and he doesn't want to leave anymore. And Josh, like, all right, fine, I got to take another job here. But the reason why I find the Raiders hard is it's not so much the Raiders itself, but who else plays in that division? They've got this quarterback that keeps going to championship games. Pat Mahomes is in that division. And you got this other quarterback in that division who's really, really good himself, and that team is building to where they could be a monster, and Herbert. This is not a knock on Carr, but Carr is not those two guys. All right, so I think that's going to be an issue. What if Aaron Rodgers goes to that division? Yeah, we're all speculating that's where he might end up. He leaves Green Bay. Holy God. I mean, you're done. You're not going to the playoffs. You're not going to anything. But even if you get out, you still got to worry about Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. Like I said, just a strange spot for me. Maybe he likes the AFC West, right? He was the coach of the Broncos more than a while back there. Right. I just thought this was strange. And Mark Davis, an owner who gets involved a lot too, maybe he likes Vegas. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he likes the heat. No, it's 40 degrees in Vegas today. Sorry. So maybe that's it. But I found this a little...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Strange, Craig.
Yeah, look, I think you started off with all we really need to know. He obviously knows that Bill Belichick is not going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, that seems to be the bottom line here. If he thought that he had a chance to take over the Patriots in a year or two, I don't think he makes this move. We'll be right back here on Sports. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today. Sports Grid's headed to the Super Bowl. Make sure you catch our live coverage beginning on Monday. A lot of our shows will be out there broadcasting live. So make sure you catch it here on Fantasy Sports Today as we lead you up to the Super Bowl in Los Angeles. Usually about 10, 15 minutes a day. We're taking a look at the updated props for those of you who can bet these legally over on FanDuel. So let's continue that conversation and see if we have any edges now. And George mentioned earlier in the week, hey, if you're going to get down on something, you may want to consider it now before it moves. That could be the possibility. But let's see if that applies here, because I think this it doesn't. I think that this is like a one of the sharper ones, because now all of a sudden the player passing props have been released over on FanDuel, George. And here we go. This is Matthew Stafford, of course, from the Los Angeles Rams, Joe Burrow, and who will have the most passing yards between the two of them. And as you can see, pretty much even money here. Not a lot of edge. You basically want to pick the winner here and don't even look at the odds, because I don't think that there's a huge advantage of less than, what, 9 cents there. So it's minus 114 with Stafford being the slight favorite there. You can only pick one.
I mean, I don't know what Joe Mixon's going to do against that line, right? So that, I mean, he had a good championship game, which I was somewhat surprised about. Because his numbers before that weren't all that great here. As they were always in the 50s, 50 yards here, 48 yards there. Sort of a lot like what Zeke Elliott was doing for the Cowboys at the end of the year. Just nothing spectacular. So I'm going to go Burrow here. I think he's going to have to throw the football. I wonder if Jalen Ramsey's going to travel with Ja'Marr Chase. Is he going to go left side, right side here? But I don't. Even if he does, I don't think that matters. Who's covering T. Higgins? Who's covering Tyler Boyd? You know, I don't think the Rams have the cornerbacks to cover that. I do worry that Aaron Donald, you know, Leonard Floyd, they're going to get in there and make life hell for Joe Burrow. I do. You know, we saw what happened on the last couple of drives to Garoppolo there. The San Fran, he had no time to throw here. Now, the Rams can't do that every pass play. They're not going to get to every play here. And I do wonder if Cincinnati makes adjustments here, keeping maybe mixing in an extra tight end in. Maybe if Uzuma can't play, which is iffy at best, that tight end is now just sitting there. You're blocking, buddy. We're going to six guys here. We're going to Burrow drop back here. Give me Burrow here. I think the Rams are looking to protect Stafford a little bit more. I think Cincinnati knows if they're going to win this, it's on Joe Burrow's arm.
Yeah, and then the other part of this dynamic is that, let's be real, outside of the last game we saw Joe Burrow play, that offensive line has not blocked anybody. So that's going to be the dynamic that could cause a problem for the Bengals. And so we'll see, in terms of the quarterback prop, which quarterback throws for more yards. Over to the wide receiving yards. Let's take a look at these. And we have Cooper Kupp, who is at minus 115. Ja'Marr Chase, plus 450. T. Higgins is at plus 650. Odell Beckham Jr. is 9-1. And Tyler Boyd is 20-1. This is for the most receiving yards, George. So naturally, Cooper Kupp, I haven't seen his individual player prop, but it's been creeping a little bit over 100 on the over-under on FanDuel. Is it just as simple as he's the only one that you could look to? Because outside of Chase catching what, like a 60, 70-yard bomb, Kupp's going to get the most targets and seemingly is likely to get the most yards. Now, what you can't factor into any of these things, George, is an injury, right? Like something happens to Kupp, he's winded, he's got to come out for a few plays. That's like, that could completely change the prop. But beyond an injury, I don't know how I can go in any other direction.
Well, of course you're right. I mean, Cincinnati does not have a top cornerback. All right, there's no Jalen Ramsey, you know, there's no one even close to that in Cincinnati. So Kupp's going to get his He's going to get his yards. I think right now, Craig, if I remember, Craig, it's a 104 and a half, but that may have changed this last time I checked here.
Okay.
So it's up there. And I think that got, I think that went up, by the way. I think it was about 102 and a half, then went up to 104 once again. If you want it, you had to get it early. It's going to keep climbing up here, as a lot of people are going to think the same thing we're thinking. There's no one there to cover Cup. And now that they have Beckham, they can't just say, hey, we're going to double cover. There's a safety over the top. We've got to worry about Beckham, too, because he's playing pretty well. You know, but once again, if I'm going to bet this, I'm probably not going to bet Cup. Just not worth it for me. I'm going to go for broke here. You know, and I'm thinking Beckham or Boyd because I'm getting such good money here. Maybe they do say, hey, well, you know what? Cup's not beating us. Damn it, not going to happen. You're going to beat us.
How is it not happening yet?
That's what I want to know. Listen, I agree with you, right? How is everybody? Listen, you, and you. You'll go cover him. He no beat us. You know, let Beckham go. Let Van Jefferson go. Higby, anybody. I don't know if Higby plays either, by the way. He's got the injury. So I might go to Beckham here. Hollywood Lights, man. Los Angeles, Beckham. Everything's worked out for him. Right? Got out of Cleveland. You're going to be a free agent again. I don't think he'll be back with the Rams. So I might go with Beckham. And this is, I don't mind Boyd either. Maybe Ramsey does travel with Jamar Chase and slows him down. And Boyd, I'm not getting a good enough price on Higgins, but, you know, 201, why not? Give me Tyler Boyd here. Let's see what happens. A little small play on Boyd. Don't expect to happen, but I'll have a small play on Boyd.
You know, what's fascinating is that we've seen so many great receivers go into the Hall of Fame. I mean, Art Monk in recent years, Marvin Harrison in recent years, and like Cooper Kupp is probably online with all of them. But it's like we're based on the prop and based on the favorite that he is here to have the most receiving yards in the Super Bowl. I mean, he is Jerry Rice, George. I mean, he is Randy Moss. Like right now, like he basically what you said is, well, you know, and it's a fair point. Well, maybe they won't let him beat us. I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters. He is in a very elite class of player in the NFL that is unstoppable. I mean, Andre Johnson was a great wide receiver, but there were games where he didn't have a great game. Calvin Johnson, unbelievable player. But there were some games where, you know, Calvin Johnson would have 80 yards receiving. I mean, this prop, his player prop, you're telling me, is at 104? I mean, that's an insane number. Like, it really is. And it keeps going over every week. It's insane. Okay, over to rushing yards. Most rushing yards in this one. This feels like it's probably between the first two names, unless Sean McVay pulls a C.J. Anderson here in the Super Bowl. We have Joe Mixon at minus 105, Cam Akers plus 105, Sony Michel plus 900, Samaje Perine 40-1. Let me tell you something. The last time the Rams played in the Super Bowl, George, I remember sitting here believing that Todd Gurley was healthy and that they were just waiting to unleash him in the Super Bowl and he was going to get all these carries. Boy, that was like the most wrong on any. I was like betting over on all his props. I was like, there's no way. And this guy couldn't even play anymore. We saw what happened 2 years and then he's out of the NFL. So I guess the question that we have to ask ourselves is Cam Akers 100% healthy? Has McVay soured a little bit on him? Will he go over to Sony Michel? Because if I'm doing any of these, it's one with Mixon and then I would take a shot with just, hey, look, McVay decides that he's rolling Sony Michel out for 20 carries next Sunday.
Well, that's what I'm doing. All right, because of what you said here, I'm going to hope that I don't want to hope that Akers is hurt. I don't think he is hurt. I'm going to hope maybe, you know, those fumbles he's had, you know, maybe he drops the ball here, puts it on the ground. Give me Michel. You know, Michel is not a spectacular back. He's not a super talented back. He's just a back. You know, he does sort of reap some benefit from the fact that what we're saying about Kupp, which is the safeties have to stay out of the box here. Well, you're not going to see an eight-man box. So he's going to have some opportunities to do some damage there. So I'm going to go with Michel here. Listen, I love the price on Perine, but unless you get a long carry, you might need two long carries. You know, I don't know how many touches he's going to get in this game. No thank you here. So I'm going to take a shot on Michel. I don't expect him to win it. I think it would be kind of lucky. I need to get Akers out of there. Somehow I need to get Akers out, which means he needs an injury or he needs to put the ball on the ground here. And once again, I can't have that. You're done. That sort of thing here. But I'll take a shot on Michel, but it'll be for his very small play.
Yeah, and look, these I don't see a huge advantage on any of these where we're going to have some next week that we'll take a look over on FanDuel and we'll definitely find some much bigger advantages. Are you surprised that this line keeps climbing, by the way, George? Rams now up to, I think I saw some 4.5, if I'm not mistaken here. But talk about being wrong. Like, I don't know. I thought that this was not going to be a pick 'em, okay? I'm not that silly. But I definitely thought that there'd be a lot of support for Cincinnati. And I haven't made my official pick. I guess we'll do that next week here on the show. But giving Cincinnati all those points. I'm trying to figure this one out. How that's not the pick.
Oh, that is the pick. I think that, once again, not that they're the better team, but I'm taking Cincinnati. Now, this line started with 3.5, and it keeps climbing up. I'm not surprised it keeps going up, by the way, because that's where the money. You say you're surprised Cincinnati doesn't have a stronger showing. Why? It's Cincinnati. I'm not trying to make fun of them, but this is not the Cowboys, Steelers, Packers, Patriots that have a national following. They don't. You know, I think they cover the spread. I do. I'll take the Bengals gladly at 4.5. I think it might go higher. Not the Rams don't really have a national following either. But guess where all the money's going to come in? It is L.A. All right, we're going to see. What's the over-under on how many celebrities we're going to see in commercial shots at the Super Bowl? 802? That's all we're going to see there is those celebrities there. So that's where the money's going to come in on. You know, it's Los Angeles. And it's not, Cincinnati just doesn't have that kind of pull there. So I'm not surprised it keeps going up. I'm just surprised that it's gone up so quickly. You know, we're on Wednesday. Before, you know, 11 days before the Super Bowl. I'm surprised it's gone up so quickly. That's the only thing that shocks me here. And I think if it's at 4.5 now, I think it's going to get the 5 and 5.5. Wouldn't shock me either.
It may, and I just don't understand the basis for it. Unless that there's some sort of real home field advantage baked into this, which I don't see. It's almost never a home field advantage anyway in the Super Bowl, let alone this place. So it's unusual to me to see line movement like this, no doubt. So we'll check back in on our Super Bowl prop tomorrow here on our show on Fantasy Sports Today. But coming up next, I guess we have waited long enough, folks. It is February the 2nd, and normally, and I'm talking about me doing this for, it feels like 15 or 20 years. Normally by now, on this show and others that I've done, we are just knee-deep into player comparisons and who would you take, average draft position in fantasy baseball. But there's a lockout going on right now, and so many players are still unsigned. And a half a dozen closing situations in baseball are still completely unresolved. But the NFBC rolls on with their average draft position. I can't put good money into this, but we certainly can evaluate the top picks thus far in the 2022 fantasy baseball draft. So our first look at it actually comes today here on the show. It is next. So stay on the grid. George and I will be right back in just a couple of minutes here on Sports Grid. Don't go away. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mitch, George Kurtz. You've got to make sure you are following us on Twitter all next week. It's going to be amazing as Sports Grid heads to the Super Bowl in Los Angeles. The two places you want to be following us, at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. Latest news, notes, information, interviews from the Super Bowl as well. We're sending a lot of people out there. It'll be worth your while to give us a follow right now at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. Coming up in less than an hour from now, Byron Buxton from the Minnesota Twins is going to join us. We'll go over why he re-signed with the Twins, what he thinks about Tom Brady retiring, and you know, obviously, fantasy baseball with his potential going into this season. No question, we'll hit on that as well. George, here we are, February the 2nd. You and I are in sync for many, many years. For people who don't know, I have worked with George on and off, I think, for about close to maybe 15 years. It feels like that's probably fair. We worked here. We worked over on satellite radio, and we're huge baseball enthusiasts, huge fantasy baseball enthusiasts. But to this point, it is really hard for me to wrap my arms around a sport, no offense, baseball, and a fantasy game where there's so much influx right now. So much influx. Like, making assumptions on anything right now is unfair. It's fun to talk about, and I think it's fun to project. But George, we at Sports Grid like to put our money where our mouth is. And I cannot put my hard-earned money on guessing. And that's what this is at this point. So beyond like what we're going to talk about here, which is the top 10 picks in the draft, pretty obvious, there's so much uncertainty surrounding these teams, players, so many free agents. I mean, if we're still using saves as a category, we got like 15 teams without a closer. And that's more than what we normally have going into a season already. So the uncertainty to me is just eating at me, and I've resisted this long, but I think the time is now to start looking at it.
Yeah, see, first of all, everything you said is true. And I agree with everything you said. That being said, my philosophy is I got to assume it's going to start on time. I just have to because I don't want to be caught in a rush here. So I've done a number of mock drafts already. And by mocks, I mean, you know, with people in the industry, I like doing them. They're fun. It gets me in the flow of it. And I want to see what the other people are thinking anyway. Plus, I am that guy that likes to take some chances here. What does my team look like if I take him in the first round? If I take a catcher early, I hate catchers. But what if I do take a catcher early? What does my team look like? That sort of thing. What if I ignore pitching? You know, why would I take two pitchers there early? Take a pitcher in the first and second round. So I am that guy. And I'm for my keeper leagues, dynasty leagues, I'm always writing down, okay, I'm going to keep this guy. What does my team look like? What are the other teams going to do? Just how my mind works. I hope baseball starts on time. I also look at it like this. Well, if you're in a league, everyone else is in the same boat. Now, we don't know who's going to be the closer on, they said, half the league here. I don't know where this guy's going to sign. I have my theories. So you don't know. So it's not really unfair. But there is going to be more luck involved, absolutely.
Yeah, that's better. I mean, if you feel it's better to be lucky than good, then that is for you. But I suppose if my budget was $500 for one NFBC Champions League, and I had my choice, do I draft on February 2nd or March 2nd? I'm taking March 2nd 100 times out of 100. You know, that's just the way that, and maybe even late than that. But as of right now, it would be March 2nd. So. Let's take a look at this. Here is the NFBC's top five right now, ADP, with some of the drafts that have gone on thus far. This is, I think, about a month of data, maybe a little bit less. Trey Turner is the number one overall pick in the 2022 drafts for a lot of folks, George, from the Los Angeles Dodgers. Tatis is second. Juan Soto is third. Jose Ramirez is fourth. And Bo Bichette is fifth. I think the surprise name there and the least sexy name for a lot of people, George, but it's just enough is enough. Jose Ramirez is just such a good Major League Baseball player and such a great fantasy player. No one ever thinks of him first, second, third, fourth, fifth. But at this point, you know exactly what you're getting from this guy. And barring 2 years ago, when 2019, when he got off to that slow start and then picked it up in June, this guy is just as rock solid as any player in the game. And the Cleveland Guardians are very lucky to have this player. He's the one player that seemingly they feel like hanging on to at this point.
Look at that. Craig doesn't have to throw a dollar into the jar. He said Guardians instead of Indians. Good for him. How many times are we going to make that mistake this year? I got to tell you, if you didn't say it first, I probably would have forgotten they changed the name there. So thank you, Craig. When I look at this top five, the first question that comes to my mind isn't Ramirez. I think he's sort of a safe guy there. You know what you're going to get, and he's a damn good player. It's going to be Tatis. How worried are you about the shoulder? I mean, that's going to pop out again. There's no chance it's not going to pop out again this season. You know, I've had that. I know exactly what that is that he's going through. That hurts like hell, by the way. Sometimes it goes right back in, no big deal. But it will pop out again, probably on a dive. Either dive, you know, sliding into a base head first, or I don't care if it's a shortstop or the outfield. He's going to dive after a ball, and that shoulder's going to pop out. And like I said, maybe it doesn't pop in right away. Maybe he's got to go back on the DL for 3 weeks. 4 weeks. I think if everything was equal and there was no injury, Tatis is by far the number one pick. He's the guy I want. Has shortstop and outfield eligibility. I love it. And he's a great player. But I have a hard time. I mean, what number are you going to put on how many games he's going to play this year?
110.
Oof. You're lower than me. I can't take him first round. Forget top two. I can't take him first round at that number. And I'm not saying you're wrong, by the way. Because I think, you know, I had it at 125, so I'm one DL, I'm one IL stint a little lower than you.
Yeah.
So I worry about this a lot. Most important ability to me in fantasy is availability. I just don't think he's going to have it. I really wish he would have had that surgery during the offseason, especially in a season now, which may not begin on time.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think he's Tulowitzki. I think he's above that. So I'm not as worried. Maybe that's a low number for me at 110. Maybe I should have come in at like 120, 125. Can we show that Jose Ramirez graphic one more time, please, if we don't mind, if we have it? How is this not the first pick in fantasy baseball? Explain to me. Why is this player not the first overall pick in fantasy baseball?
It's not sexy. George. It's not sexy.
It's ridiculous. He is the best player in fantasy. He is.
I can't argue with you, but I know why he's not. It's just not sexy. Right, he plays on Cleveland, a team that's going nowhere.
Who cares?
He doesn't look like a great baseball player, right? Not in any kind of great shape here, but he just plays the game very well here. So that's why. If you tell me right now that I'm going to have Jose Ramirez on you know, I won't get him on every league, obviously, but a third of my teams, all right, let's go. Well, I'm off to a good start. I'm happy.
Yeah. I mean, look, some players will steal more than him, I guess. And that's why Turner goes number one for the steals ability, and he'll get shortstop and second base eligibility this year in all leagues. I get it. I understand it. But to me, Jose Ramirez, elite player in the game, maybe the most underrated player in the last 10 years in baseball, honestly. All right, 6 through 10, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. coming off that huge year that he had last year, his breakout season. On the NFBC format, Ohtani does qualify at both positions. Another mystery I can't figure out, how these sites can't figure that out at this point, to just have the guy qualify at both. By the way, if he does, why is Ohtani not the first pick? Okay. Gerrit Cole, 8. Bryce Harper, 9. Corbin Burns, 10. Remember, the NFBC is going to be really pitching heavy, and we're going to stop here at 10 today. But naturally, the reason why Burns is there and the reason why Cole is there is because, you know, a lot of the experts and a lot of the these sort of leagues have these pitching runs at the end of the first into the second round. And George, I don't know if you guys will do it tomorrow, but when we come back and we talk about the second round after pick 12, you'll start to see there's just like a massive pitching run where a lot of the starters are taken.
Yeah, so I'm a big. It's funny how the game changed for me. Probably within the past 5-7 years, I've changed my philosophy on pitching. It used to be, I want one anchor in my first 4 picks, maybe even 5 picks, and then I'll fill it out after that. Nowadays, I'm getting my anchor maybe in the first round, no later than the second round. And then I'm taking the next 3 rounds, at least another pitcher, maybe 2. 3 of my first 5 picks could be pitchers here. They're just, I need that pitch. I need that solidified. I need to get my strikeouts, need to get my ratios down, whatever it might be. Closers are not coming anywhere near close for many reasons. I tend to wait. I like that one good close. I don't really care about the rest. I'll figure it out like everybody else. But starting pitchers, yeah. Certainly, if I'm at the end of the first round, odds are, you know, if I'm from 8 to 12 range, I'm taking a Cole, a Burns, whoever it might be, DeGrom, if you believe he can stay healthy this year, Scherzer, whoever it might be. I want that anchor. Bueller, I can keep going on here with great starting pitches. I want that anchor, then I'll get my hitter. Because I think the hitters at that point are going to be very similar at my second-round pick. You know, also, I might end up with a Harper if he falls a little bit. Maybe Betts, who's not here. Trout, I mean, what are you going to do with him? So, talk about somebody who can't stay healthy.
That's
as
true,
well.
Right?
And he's falling off the planet here. Crazy. He's probably falling too far right now.
I agree with you. He should still be a top 12. He is right around there, the range that we'll talk about next. So if you thought my Debo Samuel prediction was good at the beginning of the season, I was on, if you can believe this, you probably don't, George, but anyway, we unfortunately don't have the host to be able to quantify it. But on the morning after, before the baseball season, I told them to take Corbin Burns at 40-1. To win the NL Cy Young. He was like in a field with like a million other people that it was just like the highest you could get odds on the Cy Young were basically 40-1. And lo and behold, this guy wins the Cy Young last year. I mean, that was a lucky guess, but I did like the pitcher. And I look, these are Cy Young numbers, but they're not the Cy Young numbers, George, when we were in our 30s or in our 20s, because like 11 wins when he was a Cy Young, it's just a different day now. You know, players do not get deep into games, but you would assume that Burns, who pretty much had health, I think, for, if I'm not mistaken, about what, like 80% of the season? I know he missed a little bit of time. There should be no reason why he and even his teammate Woodruff, who doesn't even go that much further after him, the Brewers have turned themselves into a pitching team, which I think surprised some people. But what do you think about Burns going into the year?
Yeah, I'm on Burns. All right, I like to go into last season, not as much as you did. I don't think I say he's going to Cy Young anywhere, but I like Burns as well. You mentioned Woodruff, Peralta too. I mean, you're right. I mean, their 3 starters can match anybody's 3 starters, really. What team is the better 3 starters when you think about it? The Mets, you got DeGrom, Scherzer, but who's the third guy? All right, so I don't know if there's anybody. Even Kershaw goes back to the Dodgers. They can't really match that either because Kershaw's not that guy anymore. Bueller, Urias, Kershaw. It's nice. It's not Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta there. It's just not. So, yeah, you said it. This is a team we always thought as a hitting team. You know, that ballpark built for hitting home runs, really what it's built for. But now they can pitch. That's what they just add a smattering of hitting. You know, they're a dangerous, dangerous team because in a playoff series, who wants to face those 3? Good luck to you. I mean, really, good luck to you. The Brewers are sort of set up here. Woodruff is going, what, a little? I think Burns is like 6 or 7, and Woodruff goes around 10 or 11. They both might be first-round picks, and Peralta is probably no worse than a third.
Yeah, no, and they're loaded in the bullpen too. I mean, we have Josh Hader, assuming Devin Williams, I know, had that really disappointing end to his season. I think he punched something, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah. Devin Williams, having him come back, right? I think I'm right about that. Devin Williams and Hader out of the bullpen, they also have some great sixth, seventh inning guys. I mean, that just gives you more value on some of those starters that are there. But in the end, I think, George, you did hit it, though. Brewers have some work to do, I think, offensively. Avisail Garcia is gone. Yelich did not have a great year. You know, Kwong had a nice year. Who knows what Kane is at this point? Some work needs to be done as soon as this lockout is over for Milwaukee. And there's a lot of players out there that are still free agents. So much is going to change in fantasy, which is why this dynamic of going over the eighth round in fantasy baseball, a little bit different than the first and second round. But we'll try to do it with you guys as we close in, hopefully, on spring training, which is scheduled to start in 2 weeks. We'll see. All right, we'll take a quick break here on Fantasy Sports Today. When we come back next, as it turns out, Bill Belichick is not the only one who made a mistake texting yesterday. It is true. I made a mistake as well. So I will own up to it and show you that coming up next right here on Fantasy Sports Today.
Great. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Well, clearly this lawsuit from Brian Flores is no laughing matter. It's very serious. And obviously, the things that he is alleging in this lawsuit, no doubt, could just basically reshape the way that we view the NFL. But let's also be honest, the texting going back and forth between Bill Belichick and Brian Flores was pretty comical. And I want to say this, we all make mistakes with texting. Bill Belichick should not feel bad at all about making that mistake, because yesterday I did the same exact thing, and we can take a look at it. I'll own up to it. Yesterday, I was trying to book Brett Favre on the show. I thought I was texting Brett Favre. I said, "Hey, Brett, wondering if you're good for the show today." And then Brett responds, "Yes, why wouldn't I?" And so that caught me off guard. You know, here I'm trying to get Brett Favre to come on and talk about Aaron Rodgers. So I respond, "Well, my producer Brett messes up sometimes and forgets to remind our guests. So we'll talk about Rodgers, okay?" And then Brett responds, yeah. And then, of course, Brett says, "Hey, this is Brett Levy, not Brett Favre." And I said, "Oh, yeah, my bad. Okay, I'll see you at noon." So there you go, George. We all do it. We all mess up. I thought I was texting Brett Favre. It was really my producer, Brett Levy. And, of course, Brett saved the text because he wants to get me in trouble. "Okay, fine, Brett. Go ahead. Air it on the show." There you go, George.
Okay, we have all done that. Anybody who says they haven't made a mistake on a text, you are lying. We've all done that a number of times. That's funny, though. That's very funny. I think the one thing about Bill is that it opened up the can of worms, right? Because how did he know? How did he know that DeBoer was going to be offered the job? Obviously, he has a connection somewhere in the Giants organization. But that's what makes the Giants look bad here. This is why I think it's obviously what set off Flores. Right? Because, "Oh, how did you know? And I haven't even interviewed yet. This is all BS." Here we are.
Crazy. Don't know if Bill Belichick and Brian Flores will ever be talking again. Hopefully, Brett Levy will be talking to me. We'll have hour two next on Sports Grid.